You know, we've been talking about some topical things lately, and I don't know if you want to consider today a topical thing, but today, as you can see in your bulletin, today's message is entitled, Adding to the Church Daily. And I've been thinking about that a great deal this week. I've been thinking about what God wants to do with His people, the church, and that is add people to the church daily. And as I read through this some time ago, I was just reminded of the goodness of God. Isn't God good? God is so good, and He's active. You know, we hear the question so oftentimes, well, where's God now? Where's your God now? Or where's your Jesus now? And if this happened or that happened, but God is so good, and He's active. He's calling people to Himself. He wants people to know Him. And you know what? He needs to use you and I to do it. And I'm reading about this verse in Acts chapter 2, and I'll ask you to turn there in your Bible if you have it. I'm thinking about this verse, and the Lord added to their church daily those who were being saved. And He put a burden on my heart for people that don't know yet, who don't yet know Jesus. You know what, folks? Eternity is coming, and it's coming mighty quick. And He needs you and I, the church of God and the churches, to respond to His Spirit's call that says, go therefore and make disciples. He needs you and I. Everyday people, not just the pastor, not just the missionary, not just the evangelist. He needs His church to wake out of its slumber and recognize that eternity is coming, heaven and hell are real, and if His church, you and I, don't tell people about Jesus, who's going to? And so I'm thinking about this verse, and the Lord added to their church daily those who are being saved. And I long for that. I long to see believers, I long to see believers in the churches, ours and others, reaching out to people that God is adding to His church daily. Do you long for that, brothers and sisters? That's the heart of God, that people would come to know Him in a life-transforming way. Let me read Acts chapter 2, and you can watch it on the big screen here. We're going to be looking at it from the New King James Version, or you can follow along in your Bible. But here's what Peter said to those multitudes that day. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved, he told the multitudes. Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. We look at that phrase a couple of weeks ago when we had our baptism service, didn't we? Those who gladly received his word. What was his word? Jesus is Lord. He has been here. He has died on the cross. He is Savior. Those that received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And the church was born. The church of Jesus Christ was born. And they continued. Now note a couple of verses here and note what He challenges His church with. This was just not for those folks that listened to Peter that day. It's for people today that have known Him a long time, that have just known Him today. Listen to what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That means they were intentional about their worship of the Lord. They were intentional about when they got in the Word of God. They were intentional about getting together to meet with Jesus. That should be our example. And in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Listen to this verse. I'm thinking there's a sermon on this one too sometime. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You see what he's saying here, brothers and sisters? This new church, this body of believers that God had breathed life into and they rose up out of the dust of the ground, just like us, when they recognized a brother and sister was in need, they sold some of what they had to help that brother and sister in need. They sold what they had. Not everybody had everything. But they were so filled with the love of Jesus, they were so transformed in their lives, that some sold what they had because there was a brother or sister in here in need. And you see what the Bible says there? Sold their possessions and good and divided them among all as anyone had need. You know what I conclude from that? Nobody had any needs after that because they were taking care of one another. And I'm not sure that's happening today. I'm guilty of that as well. But I'm not sure that's a reality in the church today, and yet this is what was happening in God's people in this church in this day. But as I said, that's a sermon for another day. So continuing on, the Bible says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their church," he said, "and the Lord added to their church daily those who were being saved." You know what? I read this verse here. They ate their food with gladness. They were going from house to house rejoicing. And you know what I'm thinking this morning? I'm thinking that We would be at the Vikings game. We would be in the front row, and we would be glad to go back on Monday and say, "Guess where I was yesterday?" Are we glad we were in the front row with Jesus on Sunday? Are we glad we had a chance to get with Jesus on Sunday? Do we go back to our workplace, go back to our homes, go back to our communities, wherever we live, and say, "I have been with Jesus"? Not because of Jim or this building, but because of the presence of God. We boast about being in the front row at the Vikings, I dare say, or the Twins game, or the Wild, or whatever. And yet, I wonder, do we talk about like these folks did when they get back to work on Monday, "I have been with Jesus. Let me tell you about it"? That's what they did here. And you know, while they were doing that, I love this verse. "And the Lord added to their church daily those who are being saved." The heart of God is that nobody should go to hell. And that should be the heart of the church. That should be our heart. I don't care what the denomination is out front. When Jesus changes you and I, that should be our heart. God's not wanting anybody to go to hell, and that should be the heart of people. That should be the heart of you and I. And so it shows outside the church house on Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and so on. Did you know that in our community, I know this for a fact because I've talked to the funeral director, but did you know that in this particular community, and I would say this probably extends from Baxter, Leader, Oil Inn, Verndale, Lincoln, this area, and maybe larger, that the Brenny Funeral Home has some business dealings, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? But in this area where they deal with people dying, those of you that don't know, they are in the funeral business here, they have given us pastors this statistic: 3 in 5 in this area die with no church connection. That is 60%. 6 in 10 people in this community, right here where you live, most of you, 60% are dying with no church connection. You say, "Jim, that don't mean nothing." Well, it doesn't mean that some of them may not know Jesus, because they may, and they're not in church. It could mean that. I will agree. But probably, with no church connection whatsoever, probably there is minimal to no Jesus connection. 60% in our community. I don't know if that hungers your heart, brothers and sisters, but it should, and it does mine. 60%. And the national average is 51% are not in church on Sunday morning. 49% are. That's the national average. And that doesn't mean they're all that they have met with Jesus either. Some are just there. That should hunger the heart of God's people for those that maybe haven't met Him yet. Are you aware, brothers and sisters, of any church in America that is adding to their number daily those that are being saved? Are you aware of any adding daily? God challenges my own heart with that. And you know what? He's not talking about going out on the street and picking me up 3-4 guys and saying, "Yeah, can I put your name on the church roll?" He ain't talking about that. He's talking about people coming to Jesus. He's talking about conversions. He's talking about, when he says here, those that were being saved by the blood of Jesus, by their faith in the resurrected Jesus. That's what he's talking about. And you know what? God is doing a revival here in our community. People are being saved on a weekly basis almost. Almost every week this year, I can share with you names of people that God has reached out and touched them in their heart. And you or I or somebody has said to them, "You know what? Jesus loves you and He wants you to come to Him in a saving knowledge so you will, your name will be written in heaven. You will be saved and you'll be His child." People are coming to Jesus in our community. Praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. People are coming. God is at work, you see. God is at work. And He wants His church to come alongside and be the people that He's called us to be. When I think of the statistics in our own community and in America, and I think of this statement, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved," I think that God is trying to say to this slumbering giant in America called the church, "Won't you wake up, brothers and sisters, and join me in my endeavor to reach people for Jesus and keep them from the eternal torment of hell?" That's what I think. God is trying to do with His church house, with the people in the church house. I think that God is saying, "Churches of America, come forth from your slumber and join me in this movement, if you will, of the Spirit to reach people for Christ, because eternity depends upon it." I told the earlier service this morning, you know what? I had a dream this morning, or a vision, or a nightmare, whatever you call it, about hell at about 2 o'clock. Only thing, I was wide awake. And I was thinking about the agony, because I had just read, as a matter of fact, I have a copy of it right here. I just read Jonathan Edwards' sermon from 1741 that said, "Sinners in the hands of an angry God." If you've never read it and you have an internet, Google in "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God" and see what this brother from the 1700s preached about. I had just read that 10-page sermon. And I was awake at 2 a.m. this morning thinking about the eternal torments of hell. God had put that on my heart, and I'd never been burnt too bad. I got scratched up a little bit. Probably looks like a tattoo from where you're sitting, but I got scratched up a little bit this week, but I haven't been burnt too bad. Been burnt a little bit, but I was thinking, falling into the lake of fire. Thinking of that anguish and that torment and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the crying out, "God, let me die," and there ain't no death in hell. That's the vision I had at 2 a.m. There ain't no death in hell, the Bible says, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And I'm wondering, do we in the church care about folks that maybe haven't met with Jesus? Because that, if I haven't met with Jesus, or you haven't, or my brother, or my coworker, or my neighbor hasn't met with Jesus, that's where the Bible says our eternal destination is going to be. God has put this on my heart. He wants to add to the church daily. He wants to add to the church daily. And I'm wondering, where is the church? There was a lady here at the first service, and she's a brand new believer. She's a former co-worker of mine. And she's a brand new believer, and she's in Friday night Bible studies at our house for brand new believers, and she's excited about Jesus. And she told some of her friends and some of her family, you know what? I know Jesus. Praise the Lord. I know Jesus. This is not a 19-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 12-year-old young lady. This is a 48-year-old lady. And for the first time in her life, she's excited about Jesus because she's met him face to face. She's met him personally. And she was saying to her older brother and his wife just a few days ago, she said, man, I'm learning about Jesus because I got him in my heart now. And I'm learning about him in this Bible study. And she was excited about it. And her older brother and sister-in-law said to her quite simply, you don't mean to tell me you believe in all that stuff, do you? And she said, yes, I believe it's true. Brothers and sisters, we got to get excited enough for Jesus that we start telling somebody about it. There's all manner of things going on. I shared several things in the first service. I don't have time to go over them. Several things going on right now in Congress, in the world, that I don't have time to share them, but they're going on in America. And my question simply earlier this morning was, you know why they're going on, friends? Because the church has been asleep. Because the church has fallen into slumber in America. And things are going by that shouldn't happen. And bills are being passed that shouldn't happen. And all manner of things are happening in our nation that would be unthinkable 50 years ago. And you say, Jim, that's because we're clear thinkers now. No, that's because we've ignored the Word of God. That's why it's happening now. It's not Jim's Word. It's the Word of God. And things are happening in America that shouldn't be happening because the church has been asleep at the wheel with their walk with Jesus. It breaks my heart, and I can't imagine the heart of God, how He looks at His created, and He sees a people not just turning their back on Him and strolling away, but running away from God Himself and His Word and saying, I don't need it. Our nation apparently doesn't need it because we're making all kinds of decisions and efforts without the counsel of the Almighty. I'm pretty sure God's heart is the same as it was when these words got written. He wants to add to His church daily. I'm pretty sure He's the same God. You say, Jim, what if somebody doesn't like what I have to say about Jesus? What if somebody doesn't agree with my views? Jesus had an answer for that. It's from John 15, verse 18 and 19, when He said, if the world hates you, that's because it hated me first. That's what He said. If the world hates you and your stance with Jesus, it's because it hated me first, He said. You're in good company if the world is disapproving of your stance with Jesus. I mentioned to you that tonight we're going to watch a DVD testimony of a man by the name of Michael Franzese that was being groomed to be one of the godfathers, if you will. And you can watch that DVD if you'd like, or borrow it sometime later. And why do I mention this? Because he was going to be one of the next crime bosses of one of the families, and it is still real, in America, until he met with Jesus. Until he met with Jesus. Murder, mayhem, sex, extortion, bribery, you name it, it was all part of his life. Until he met with Jesus. You say, Jim, so what? What's that got to do with anything? My point is that God is at work. But He needs you and I to rise up. You and I that know Christ, to allow His Spirit to move in you. And when He puts somebody in your path, He needs you and I to tell people about Jesus. You know what? And if you listen to this, and probably a lot of you won't have time to come, but if you do, you'll hear Him say He was producing movies. Lots of money, millions, lots of girls, I suppose. Whatever He wanted, He had it, lots of it. And He's making this movie in Florida, And out of the pool comes this 19-year-old gal. He's 30, 31, something by this time. Already been in the crime family for a number of years. And of course, you know what's going through his mind. So he says to the producer, I want to meet this person. But what he didn't know is this young lady knew Jesus. And before long, God used this young lady to influence this man. And he today knows Jesus and proclaiming Jesus all over the United States. You can watch the rest of it. I'm not going to say any more about that. But my point is, God is working on people, and He needs people to tell people about Jesus. God has done what He's going to do. He has sent Christ. Christ has died for our sin. He has sent His Spirit to guide us to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus if we're not there, or to help us walk with Jesus if we are there. God has done what He's going to do. And now He wants His church. That's you and I. That's the church down the street. That's the church up the road. He wants His church to wake up out of our slumber and tell the world that God is real. God loves you, and hell and heaven are real. And unless we do something about Jesus, there's only one alternative left, and it's not heaven. That's what He wants His church to do. That's when He adds daily the number to His church, to His family. God is at work, and He's waiting for His church to come to life. He's waiting for believers, followers in Jesus, to love their neighbor like themselves. To love him so much that it shows with my neighbor, even though he or she doesn't see things the way I see them. Even though his cow's got in my corn patch. Even though his little one shot a BB gun through my window. Love my neighbor, because that's what he said to do. God wants to use you and I to come to life to show the love of Jesus to those people around us. And I've even heard the excuse, preacher, we don't have any room here to have people added to our number daily. And my response is quite simply, the owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills don't care about space issues. The owner who is God Himself of the cattle on 1,000 hills doesn't have a problem with walls. If we need to add walls, if we need to go out like John Wesley did and preach outside, that's what we will do to proclaim the name of Jesus. God is not limited by walls. The Creator of the universe wants to live within your heart. And when He is living in your heart, He wants you to be somebody for Him in the community. God is not concerned that we have all the pews filled but one. He wants to fill that one another time, and the third service, and the fourth, and whatever it takes to tell people about Jesus. Did you recognize that statistic? 60% in this community do not know Christ, or at least they're not associated with the church, and perhaps don't know Christ. Did you know there are somewhere between 200 and 300 that regularly make this church their home or visiting place? 200 to 300. They're not all here every day because there's things going on, and so there's not that many here every Sunday, but there's that many here. Did you ever think about if you and I, just one of us, would meet with one person throughout this year and one person would come to Christ? That's 300 more of the 60% around here. Did you ever think about that, brothers and sisters? God wants to add to the church daily, and He needs you and I to do it. He needs you and I to be part of it. He needs you and I to wake up out of our slumber and witness to our neighbors and lead people to at least tell them about Jesus and give them a chance. Do you want to know Jesus? And I guess if they say no, that's their prerogative. I guess that's up to them. Time is running out. But let me say this. Hell is hungry. Hell's appetite won't get satisfied. People are dropping into the eternal expanse of hell on a moment-by-moment basis. Not because not all of it's not even about being bad. It's about never having met with Jesus. You still with me? Heaven and hell are real. The Bible tells us all about it. It's real. And when I draw my last breath on this earth, the Bible says it is appointed unto man and woman once to die, and after this the judgment. Hell and heaven are real. And if I have not made preparations for heaven here and now, when I die or Christ returns, and it could be at any moment, it's too late. And God is simply asking, church, please come to life in Jesus and tell people there's good news. There's good news. Even in spite of cancers and difficulties in all manner of things, there's good news, and His name is Jesus. In Acts 4, you don't have to turn there, we don't have time. But in Acts 4, Peter and John were drugged before the religious leaders, and they are told quite simply, like you could be told even by our own government in the near future, I suppose, if things keep pushing in that direction. They were told by the religious leaders, don't you talk about Jesus. We don't want to hear the name of Jesus. And you recall the response that Peter and John answered when they said in Acts 4, verse 19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to... Let me say it right. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Are you hearing me, beloved? They had seen the face of God. They had seen Jesus. They had seen the miracles. They had seen 3,000 people come in one day to knowledge of Christ. They had seen the goodness of God add people to the church daily. They had seen people sell their possessions to help the poor. They had seen the lepers healed. They had seen the dead raised to life. They had seen it, and they said, you judge us if you want to, but we cannot help but say the things that we have seen and heard. We cannot help but tell about Jesus. We have the opportunity to do the same thing. This is not for Peter and John only. There have been signs and wonders and miracles of God right here in this church, in this community, and some in your communities. We have seen the hand of God. We have seen those that were on 3-time-a-week dialysis. Doctors saying your kidneys are shot. You got dialysis or kidney transplant. That's your future. Until we prayed earnestly for him, and the doctors then come back to him and said, your kidneys are all right. You don't need dialysis. Folks, this is not your normal everyday stuff. This is the hand of God. Tony is sitting here with us this morning, and he was told this winter, you have inoperable lung cancer. Yes, he went through the treatments. Yes, he went through the radiation. Yes, he felt miserable. And yes, when he went back to the doctor the last time, he said, you don't have lung cancer. This is the hand of God. We have seen it. We have seen 17-ounce babies. Hear me now, 17-ounce. She was this long when I saw her. Not only live when we began to pray for her, but had no problems. That's unheard of in 17-ounce babies. That baby is a bundling 3-year-old, bouncing, joyful kid today. Praise God. We have seen the hand of God in people's lives transformed. Single moms, lots of kids going the wrong way in life, and God has changed them. We have seen it right here. We have seen the hand of God. And so please don't tell me and argue with God that says, I don't have nothing to say, because we have seen the hand of God. We have seen 45, 50-year-old men and women walking in the pathway to life, thinking that, Jim, I'm not that bad, never have met with Jesus, and yet break down and weep and say, Jesus, I need you, and watch Him transform them. People give up their jobs and say, I'm going to Bible school because Jesus has changed me. And I got a letter from the conference the other day and told of other miracles going on in other churches. There's one right down here in Beloit, Wisconsin. Lady comes into church one day. They had themselves a little old healing service. They laid hands on her. She come in with her walker. They laid hands on her, prayed over her. She tossed the walker aside and walked out without it. To the glory of God. You say, Jim, I haven't been healed. Or my family hasn't been healed. God's ways are not our ways, but I'll guarantee you this, He's alive and well. And there are things to tell from our own midst to the glory and to the goodness of God. God is still on His throne, and He needs His church to get active and to get loving and to get healing and to get caring for the lost and the poor and the lonely and the downtrodden and the outcast and the homeless, because that's what Jesus did. And I was reading in James just a day or so ago, and I was reminded by James when he said in the second chapter in the 20th verse, when he said, "But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" In other words, James is saying, people of God, get up on your feet and walk with Jesus, because He's got work for you to do. And so when we claim the name of Jesus, He has called us, as He said in the Great Commission, to go ye therefore and make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. I could tell you of people I met this week. God put them in my path. We met up for a reason. I could tell you about people that have come to know Christ this week. Praise God. Jim don't get no credit. God gets the credit. God gets the glory. I could tell you people that He put in my path. Homeless folks, just yesterday, I carted them off to Pahrump because they needed a ride to Fargo. Well, I wasn't going to Fargo. I wasn't going to Pahrump, but I took them that far. It gave me a chance for an hour Bible study. He's going to put people in your path. And if you know Christ and you're in love with Jesus, He's going to put people in your path so you can share with them what Jesus has done for you. Added to their number daily. That's good stuff. And that's what He wants to do. Here and down the next church and the next church and the next church and the body of Christ. That's what God wants to do. But He needs you and I to do it. He needs you and I to get ready. Adding to their number daily will be a reality when followers and proclaimers of the name of Jesus get serious about our walk with Jesus. Now let me conclude with this. Time is up. Time is passed up. I've had to jump over stuff. I wanted to read from you just one paragraph from Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. We don't have time for that. But let me tell you this. The Bible is still real. Heaven and hell are still real. God is still on the throne. Jesus has died for humanity's sin. All of humanity. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. God loves the world. He sent Jesus to die for us. He's done what He needs to do. He sent His Spirit. He's done what He needs to do. Now the rest is up to us. Number one, will I claim Jesus as Lord? Will I invite Him into my life? Will I say, yes, God, I've been doing things my own way. I've known about You, but I really haven't known You. There is a difference. Do I know about God? The devil knows about God. The Bible says that clear. It's more than knowing about God. It's claiming the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, recognizing that God sent Christ to die for me, this wretched old Jim, and for you. It's recognizing He died for me and I need Him. That's what Jesus called being born again. And when we have been born again, He has given us a little task. Tell the world what Jesus has done for you. Eternal God, we praise You. We thank You. We need You, Father. We need You in our lives. We need You in our individuality, that we might know you in person, that we might claim the name of Jesus for ourselves, for our own. We need you, Father, in our churches, that our churches might be there with outstretched arms as you have been to rescue the perishing, to care for those that are dying eternally, to care enough to love them for who they are, right where they're at, to love them and point them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would revive us in our heart. Revive me, O God. Revive us in the church. Revive us in churches all over America and around the world, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, that we would not have our light hidden by the covering, but that we would let our light shine for Jesus, that we would in fact be the salt of the earth. Father, use us to bring glory to your name. As Jesus prayed, Heavenly Father, just prior to going to the cross, he said, Father, glorify your name. Heavenly Father, we pray again this morning, through us, each person here today, glorify your name. Thank you again for each person here. Thank you for family coming home from the military. We pray for those that are going. There are those leaving out this week. There are those with treatments this week, surgeries. There are those that are wondering about tomorrow. Their health is poor. Their health is failing. Father, help us to claim the name of Jesus and walk with you. Because even though my faith or my health should fail, if I know Jesus, I have an eternal hope, a hope that will not fade. And so, Father, dismiss us today with your guiding hand, with your merciful hand, your graceful hand, that we might know you, that we might know you well enough to love you with everything we've got, to love our neighbor as ourself, and to tell those around us the good news of what Jesus has done for us. We pray it in his precious name. Amen.